This is NASCAR driver Tony Breidinger inviting you to make a pit stop at Raising Cane's for my favorite craveable chicken fingers. Turbocharge your order and get it even faster when you order online or with the Raising Cane's app. Raising Cane's chicken fingers, one love. Raising Cane's is not affiliated with NASCAR.
The NCAA Softball Super Regional starts tonight on ESPN and the ESPN app. We have a couple of game ones in the best of three series. Florida State takes on LSU. That's at 7 Eastern. Then Virginia Tech takes on UCLA. All the action coming your way on ESPN, and it is coming your way tonight. PJ Carlissimo and Seth Greenberg have made their way into the studio, and the golf trash talk between the two of them has begun. We will get to that and basketball and a whole lot more as hour number two kicks off right now live from Bristol today. It's time to get up with a wild night in the NBA. The fans were desperate and in one case, disgraceful. We've got all the details coming up. Then Aaron Rodgers couldn't be farther away from Green Bay, and one former NFL star is furious on his behalf. You need to hear it, you will. Plus, Trevor talks Tebow, and what he says could easily decide how this story ends. All that and more as we get up with you, starting right now with the game of the night, NBA Madison Square Garden. 15,000 in a frenzy for a must-win game two for the Knicks after dropping game one to that man, Trae Young, who picked up right where he left off. Fans were ready for him, but Young had 20 points at the break last night. Look at the up and under there in the second quarter. Hawks up 13 at the half. But Knicks fighting back in the third. Under 3 minutes to go in the period. Down by three. Reggie Bullock, yes, ties it at 72. Crowd goes wild. Minute later, we're still tied. Julius Randle has not gotten himself going in this series at all, but he knocks that one down, and the Knicks a one-point lead. After three, fourth quarter, Knicks lead is four. And they're running. Watch Obi Toppin. Up he goes. And down he throws. Toppin's mom, as the fans are chanting his name in the arena, moved to tears. Under five to play. Tied at 91. The best player for the Knicks in this series by far has been Derrick Rose. He scored 26. Knicks a two-point lead. About three and a half to go. Same score. This is Reggie Bullock. Yes, it is. Trae Young scored 30, but it wasn't enough. Knicks take it. 101-92. That series tied a game apiece going to Atlanta. We'll talk about it in a minute. We'll also talk about this. Russell Westbrook and the Wizards in Philly looking to even that series. They wouldn't get it done. It was a one-sided affair in favor of the home team. But this was the moment. Early fourth, Russell Westbrook getting tangled up and down he goes in frustration, being helped off the floor. And watch at the top of your screen, this idiot dumping popcorn all over Westbrook as they're taking him out. Now, the good news is Westbrook was restrained and did not make it up into the stands to go after the guy, who was removed from the arena, so that's good news, too. Ben Simmons scored 22. The Sixers won by 25, but that wasn't the talk after the game.
To be blatantly honest, man, this shit is getting out of hand, especially for me. Just the amount of disrespect, the amount of just fans is doing whatever the they want to do. It's out of pocket, man. It's out of pocket, seriously, like. In the other setting, I'm all for the fans enjoying the game and having fun and, you know, it's part of sports. I get it. But there's certain things that cross the line. And any other setting, I know for a fact that fans and they wouldn't come up. And a guy wouldn't come on the street and pour popcorn on my head because he know what happened.
All right, so that's obviously a terrible moment there. And look who has made their way in. PJ Carlissimo, Seth Greenberg with us today. And PJ, let's just comment on that. Some things just sort of feel like they should go without saying, and yet this happens. So you've coached at the highest levels, college and pro. Just what is your reaction to that?
Well, it's a disgrace, obviously. And it's, you know, I've been through that tunnel so many times. I'm shocked because it looked like there was a canopy that would have stopped that. But obviously there was a gap at the end. Now I'm changing the building. But it's hard to imagine that could happen. But hopefully they get him, throw him out, fine him, do whatever you can do. But that's disgraceful.
Seth, you commented briefly earlier. For those just joining us, your thoughts.
I think you got to prosecute the guy. And look, you're not going to throw him in jail, but you got to prosecute. For more than anything else, you've got to send a message to the
exactly.
fans. This type of behavior is unacceptable. You've got to protect the players. I mean, to me, getting on and off the court, playing on the court, it'd be popcorn one day, it's beer the next. Who knows what's going to be the next thing? Things escalate. You've got to send a clear
message. Yeah, you got to send a clear message to the players also. Hey, guys, that's not going to happen. We're protecting you.
So we will see where that goes from here. Let's leave that for the moment and get to the action on the floor. So Knicks, Hawks, we just saw it. They even up. These are two very evenly matched teams, so no surprise that it has been as close as it has been. Who's going to win that series and why?
Boy, I actually think I'm going to have trouble coming back to the city. I actually think Atlanta might win it. I just think they have more offensive weapons. I think they did a great job in New York dealing with all they had to deal with. They were in position. It's tied. For some reason, they fell in love with the three-point shot. It's tied at 91. They go 0 for 8 the rest of the game. Six of the shots were threes, which shocked me. You said it exactly right. Neither team can get away from the other. You get a 10-point lead, it doesn't matter. The team comes back. I just hope it's as good a series as it started out.
I would not have guessed I would say this at any point, but Seth Greenberg, the best player the Knicks have is Derrick Rose. He has been rejuvenated here.
It's not even close. He is the key, and he's got to start. Hey, look, if you have Nerlens Noel on the court, and Elfrid Payton on the court at the same time, you're playing 5-on-3. You've got to have Derrick Rose on the court because he can put pressure on the defense, make a play, make a shot. They play faster with better flow with him on the floor. He's got to be on the court, and they've got to guard Trae Young. And here's the key with that, I think. You got to make someone else beat you. Like I said, the 8 threes, but, you know, Trae wasn't the guy shooting those threes.
No, exactly.
They got the ball out of his hands. If they can do that, they have a shot.
Gallo and Bogdanovich could not make a shot. Knicks defense in the second half, I think they took Atlanta from 46% down to 26, like 18% from three. They turned up the D. You know Tibbs is going to want to do that, but so is Nate. It's going to be interesting to see the dynamic in Atlanta. I'm rooting for 7 games, 1-possession games.
Yeah, and I thought Tibbs did a great job defensively, but they've got to find a way to get easy baskets. They've got to get the ball to Julius Randle in the middle of the floor where the help is compromised.
All right, so that game three will be tomorrow night on ESPN. Tonight we get game three of Suns-Lakers. After LA ties that up, are they going to win? I asked Seth earlier today, does it start to feel like the Lakers are imposing their will?
Well, I think it only feels like they're imposing their will if Chris Paul is not healthy. You know, to me, that was a totally different dynamic with him not being there. If he's not healthy, I can't see Phoenix winning. If he's healthy, it's going to be interesting because I still think AD and LeBron are a little less than 100%. AD realized, I don't have to shoot jump shots anymore. I'm going in the paint. I'm going to the free throw line. You can't defend him when he does that.
So if Paul is playing and he is some facsimile of himself, you still give Phoenix a shot to win this series.
I think Phoenix has an excellent shot if CP is healthy.
What do you think, Seth?
Yeah, I've got the Lakers. And Anthony Davis, to me, like you said, don't settle. Look, when you can make a jump shot, don't settle. Play downhill, get to the line, and then when they rotate, you can pitch it out. They got enough three-point shooters. Devin Booker, though, if CP3 is out, Devin Booker is going to light it up and put on a show.
And very quickly, I am told that Friday, the result of the Friday golf match between the two of you went in the favor of the old grizzled veteran here.
We won up. We won. I will say in all, we set a record for shots given. We had a lot of dots on our cards.
Look, I had no chance to win that match because one thing, playing with PJ, but then you have to listen to him for 4 hours. It's impossible.
It is great. It's just great to have people that we can sit and we can chat like this. Hopefully, Get Up is moving back in that direction. Great to see you guys both. Thanks so much. Meanwhile, back to our football we go. And the Aaron Rodgers saga continues. He was a no-show for Packers voluntary OTAs. And so Jordan Love is back there doing the practicing. And look where Aaron is. He's hanging out with movie stars, his fiance, and other movie stars. And meanwhile, Alex Smith was a guest on The Herd yesterday. He said this.
It's inexcusable. It's absolutely inexcusable, I think.
What do you mean?
How they ever got to this point. I mean, Aaron's been there 16 years, what he's given to that organization. And I don't think it was the fact that they drafted Jordan Love. How do you have a guy like Aaron and you don't go make sure beforehand, you aren't going out of your way to make sure that he knows that he's loved? From my understanding, it's kind of like it was a bit of an unknown, a bit blindsided. I mean, how you haven't addressed that beforehand when you make a move like that and really made sure that everybody's feeling good about that. It's just not the way you run a business.
So that is an example of, among other things, quarterbacks sticking together. Meanwhile, let me go back to that video that we saw there, and we'll show you some more pictures. This is Aaron Rodgers. His fiance is Shailene Woodley. They're hanging out with Miles Teller, the movie star, and his wife in Hawaii. And these pictures go up all over social media, Diana, at the very same time that his team is on the field for OTAs. Did that strike you as coincidental or otherwise?
Yeah, for a normal
fairly private person, and I follow him on Instagram, and I never really saw a lot of pictures of him and his former Hollywood superstar girlfriends and athletes like Danica Patrick, Olivia Munn. I can't believe I'm talking celebrity stuff. Why do I know so much about this? But let's move past that. I do think, though, that Aaron Rodgers is obviously very in love right now. And I think love makes us all do crazy things. We all overshare. We all overpost. I think we're all a little guilty of it. I'm not sure what everyone's situations are at home in terms of their love and how they do it and how they share it. But I think there's a mix of that. And also, look, he is sending a clear message. He is happy. He's living life. He doesn't need the Green Bay Packers. He's willing to eat the $500K as he knows his top receivers aren't there as well. And the message is clear. I don't need you, and I'm not coming back.
That's the part of it. Look, I guess there's no part of that I don't find interesting, but let's live in that last part of it there, Damian Woody. All these guys are out there. Again, it's voluntary, but it is. They're out there on the practice field. It's something he has traditionally attended, and not only is he not there, but he is posting pictures all over the place of himself living his best life in Hawaii. What message do you take from that, D. Wood?
Listen, he's telling the Green Bay Packers, man, like, look, I don't need this. I'm good over here. I'm good. Okay, I'm living good. Like you said, living his best life. And the fact that not only is Aaron Rodgers in Hawaii doing his thing, but all the top receivers aren't there. So the receivers are basically sending the message to the Green Bay front office too. Like, if y'all don't take care of this, this might be an even bigger problem than you think. So I just think that the Green Bay Packers are in a real precarious situation, because if Aaron Rodgers is out of there and all the top skill position people aren't there, how in the world are you supposed to prepare Jordan Love for this season when everything is predicated on getting reps in the offseason?
Chris Canty, your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm right there with Wood. I mean, this Aaron Rodgers drama is already creating disruption with the Packers trying to be about the business of improving the football team and trying to get back to the championship round. With the top five receivers not showing up, I mean, I'm not saying that they're sitting out because of Aaron Rodgers, but it sure does feel like a show of solidarity and a show of support for their quarterback. But that would suggest that they also don't believe that the relationship is at a point where it's irreconcilable. I think all of them are trying to send a message to the Packers front office to try to make this relationship right so Aaron Rodgers can be back in the fold this fall.
Go ahead, Diana.
Chris, I think this is more self-preservation for the wide receivers as much as it is about unity and sending a message. Which receiver wants to show up if Aaron Rodgers comes back? You think Aaron's going to forget that they were there when he wasn't? You know, Davante Adams has got a $500K bonus here to work out to show up. He's not there. He's obviously in line with Aaron Rodgers here sending that same message. But, Mike, I also look at it this way, okay? So we know that Jordan Love didn't get an offseason last year. There's a little glimmer of I think, positivity of Aaron Rodgers not being there right now. He's getting all these first-team reps out there. He's getting the work in. He's learning how to get in and out of the huddle. All this stuff that he struggled with. He didn't play in one game last year. This is just such a good opportunity for Matt LaFleur and his coaching staff to see what they have. And look, we know what they've said, right? The other day, Matt said to the public, he's got a long way to go. And we know what a long way to go means. He's not very good right now. And he probably does. But Jordan Love is just going to continue to get better here. So while there is this dark shadow of Aaron Rodgers not here, this could be an opportunity for Green Bay to go, look, we can make this kid better. And what if he goes out there and starts winning games? What if the Green Bay Packers can have some success with this young quarterback? Maybe the Aaron Rodgers thing, the saga won't be as dramatic. But then again, he was league MVP.
Well, we'll see. We've seen pictures of him at Disney, and now we've seen pictures at Hawaii. When the season starts, maybe he'll be in Bali. I mean, who knows? Aaron Rodgers seems to have a fascinating travel schedule. We'll see if any of it winds up taking him back to the state of Wisconsin. Meanwhile, we'll leave it there for the moment. Coming up, what will it cost to get Julio away from the Falcons, and what is the best spot for him to land? We'll answer both those questions coming up. Plus, he's the number one pick. He's not the center of attention on his own team. What does Trevor think of Tim Tebow? He answers that question. You'll hear it coming up. And then, speaking of answering questions, Chris Canty, here we go. Hembo's coming for you. Who is the only player with more receiving yards through 10 NFL seasons than Julio Jones? That's the question. The answer is next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
All right, we're back on Get Up. And Canty, here we go. Sneaky Hembo, who is the only player to have more receiving yards through 10 NFL seasons than Julio Jones does right now?
Greeny, I'm going with the guy that's at the top of most statistical categories for receivers. That would be Mississippi Valley State's very own Jerry Rice from the San Francisco 49ers.
That is correct. And I'll tell you what, I mean, Hembo, I'm stunned. That seemed so obvious that maybe you thought Canty would out-talk himself, out-think himself. Torrey Holt, by the way, is third on that list. Julio is second. The question is, where does Julio go from here? We'll talk more about him as we go. But Diana Russini, first up, let's run the hurry up through a bunch of other NFL storylines. What's the latest with Saquon Barkley?
Yeah, Greeny, let's start in New York, where Saquon Barkley has been at the facility, it feels like, almost every single day, trying to rehab that knee to get back. You're not going to see him out on the field participating in any OTAs, and the hope is he'll be good to go week one, and that's going to be a huge story if he'll be ready, because I was told it'll probably not be 100% go at the start of training camp, so we may have to wait a little bit to get to see Saquon Barkley. But meantime, some good news for the salary cap as it's back on the rise, right? So we know that we've got new TV deals. Roger Goodell saying yesterday that he expects at least 30 of the stadiums to be at full capacity, on top of the fact that we've got a 17th game this season. So the revenue is a-coming. So the salary cap now is about at $208.2 million, which is great news for the NFL. As we know, it was at about $180 million this past season. And then really all eyes right now are on that June 1 date, because everyone wants to know, when is Julio Jones going to get traded, and it would make the most sense. And from the people I've spoken to, it looks like all the action is going to probably go down this June. So what is going on in Atlanta in terms of who's talking with them? Well, I was told there are teams in the AFC, there are teams on the NFC, and perhaps the biggest storyline in this is, we have discussed this over and over, what is Julio Jones's worth? Well, I was told the Atlanta Falcons have on the table right now from a team a first-round draft pick in the 2022 draft. So you have to figure they've got some good options on top of that as well.
Okay, so that is, to me, is a headline. As you bring everybody in, they have a first-round pick on the table. That means that becomes the price to beat, it would seem. And to finish that thought quickly, Diana, before I come to the guys here, is your expectation, June 1st is right around the corner, is your expectation that he will be dealt that soon, and we get to June 1 and that relatively quickly thereafter he will be traded?
Yeah, the Atlanta Falcons have been getting a lot of action on him. It quieted down a bit after the draft. There wasn't a lot of movement, and then suddenly there has been a surge the last few weeks. Heck, maybe Julio going on national TV saying I'm out of here helped with the leverage here. Who knows? But either way, the Falcons are in a really good position, as we know that they want to move on, and we can talk about whether or not this is a smart idea or not. but it looks like they'll at least be able to get really good compensation for their star receiver.
Okay, so, Canty, I'm coming to you first. Give me the landing spot. Who needs to be doing everything they can to bring in Julio Jones, Chris?
It better be the Baltimore Ravens, Greeny. They better be on the other end of that phone call, Eric DaCosta, their general manager, because I feel like they're a Julio Jones away from being in the AFC Championship game. Listen, if you want to get to the Super Bowl in that conference, you're going to have to go through the Kansas City Chiefs, and that offense is going to have a hard time being able to keep pace with the Chiefs if they don't become more explosive in their passing attack. I know the Ravens were the number one rushing team in the NFL last year, but they were dead last in passing. They need a guy like Julio Jones, that true X receiver that can line up outside of the numbers, dictate front and coverage, help Lamar Jackson out. It makes all the sense in the world.
I agree with you. If we're looking for a place that makes sense for a 32-year-old superstar who probably still has a year or two left, you're looking for someone who is, as you said it, Julio Jones away from taking a big step, maybe even winning a championship. Damian Woody, who is that?
Oh, granted, for me, it's the New England Patriots. I mean, we're talking about a team that added all these different players on both sides of the ball. And we know on offense, they added two tight ends in Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry, Nelson Aguilar and Kendrick Bourne. But could you imagine if they added a Julio Jones to in that mix, okay, with Cam Newton getting a full offseason and to really prove himself again? This New England team, people are sleeping on them. This New England Patriots team, you add a piece like that, they're going to contend with the best teams in the AFC. So, New England, make that call.
I agree with you. That's actually exactly what I was thinking as well. I would also go with the Patriots, because if you're looking for someone who's looking to take the next step, look at the way the Patriots have been aggressive during this offseason with the pieces they've gotten back, and they've had great success bringing in guys like this, superstars from other programs late in their careers who are looking for a place to come and try and win. The question to me would be, would that be a move you make with the eye on Cam Newton being your quarterback, or would it be a move that you make with the eye on Mac Jones being your quarterback, the Alabama connection, albeit obviously quite a few years apart? I think it makes a whole lot of sense. But in either case, amongst these and the others that we're talking about, both of these would put them close. Super quick, since I have the second here, Chris Canty, if the Patriots got Julio, would they, in your mind, become the team to beat in the AFC East?
No, it's still the Buffalo Bills. I think the Bills are a more complete team when you look at what they have on the offensive side. They have a proven commodity at the quarterback position. Josh Allen taking that step from being a guy that we were on the fence about to a true MVP candidate. I think he's only going to improve with another offseason under his belt. So I still think it's the Bills.
Okay, and then flipping it the other way, Damian Woody, if the Ravens get Julio Jones, are they a Super Bowl team in the AFC?
Yeah, I still think the Cleveland Browns are the best team in the AFC North and be competing for the championship. That's my feeling.
Okay, fair enough. We will see. Again, Diana telling us, expect to see Julio Jones traded perhaps as soon as sometime next week. Meanwhile, coming up next here, a wild night in the NBA. Russell Westbrook fired up after a fan's disgraceful act in Philadelphia. We'll talk about that and more as Jalen Jones joins us. Jalen Rose is standing by and ready to go. He's going to knock a grand slam out of the ballpark next on ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We are back on Get Up, and let's run the floor through the NBA playoff action of last night. Three games, including this one at the Garden. What a series. Knicks and Hawks so evenly matched. Knicks even up the series with a third quarter rally. They win at 101-92. Derrick Rose, the best player on the floor for New York, with 26. So that series, even at a game apiece. Utah and Memphis also even at a game apiece. The Jazz get their star, Donovan Mitchell, back from his sprained ankle. He scored 25. They knock off Memphis 141-129 despite 47 points from Ja Morant. In the game in Philly, a fan attending that one between the Sixers and Wizards dumped popcorn on Russell Westbrook as he left the court after injuring his ankle. Westbrook was understandably infuriated. The fan was ejected. Sixers won easily, by the way, but that was not the talk when the game was over.
To be blatantly honest, man, this shit is getting out of hand, especially for me. Just the amount of disrespect, the amount of just fans is doing whatever the they want to do. It's just, it's out of pocket, man. It's out of pocket, seriously. Like, any other setting, you know, I'm all for the fans enjoying the game and having fun and, you know, it's part of sports. I get it. But there's certain things that cross the line. And any other setting, I know for a fact that fans and they wouldn't come up. A guy wouldn't come on the street and pour popcorn on my head because he know what happened.
All right, Jalen Rose gets up with us early this morning. And, Jalen, you know I would much rather talk about the fun stuff, and we will. Nothing fun about this. But as a longtime NBA star yourself, what's your reaction to what happened with Russell last night?
I'm really disappointed and disgusted that the fan chose to throw popcorn on a wounded warrior like Russell Westbrook as he was leaving the game because he got injured. You're there to support Philadelphia. They're going to win this series. They're probably going to sweep this series. So to add insult to injury, you want to disrespect Russell Westbrook and cross the line. Now you see the red overpass where Russell Westbrook can't actually get towards the fan? Mike Greenberg, I was leaving a game at Madison Square Garden in 1999 and a fan threw a towel in my face just like that. Except the red cover wasn't there. I literally tried to jump up and grab the fan and snatch the fan down. And I would not have cared what would have happened to the fan once they hit the ground. And these circumstances continue to take place at sporting events. You heard Kyrie kind of allude to what he may expect in Boston. But I want to make sure I focus on the circumstance here. When we say our Black life matters, that's more than just the score of the game. And when you see these circumstances, Greeny, and we use the term fan really loosely because it's short for fanatic, but I noticed a lot of times people that are at games, they're not just fans. They could be betting. They could be supporters. They could just be having a night on the town. And when I talk about our Black life mattering, it means that you can come to support and root for your team. That don't mean you have to disrespect me, assassinate my character, put your hands on me, or throw anything at me. Like, when you don't respect someone, that's how you treat them. And I'm really disappointed. And the way that we see Russell Westbrook sitting up there at a press conference, and we see his face clearly, and we see his image clearly, the league should do that for this fan also, because there are cameras everywhere. You can show this fan from the time they parked or got out of the car to the time they went back to the car. We should see that fan's face. And I'm seeing people say he should be banned from games. Is that all? He should be severely punished, because if you did that to somebody on the street, I'm pretty sure it'd be more than just being banned from a game.
Yeah. Yeah, look, the price of admission does not allow you to check your humanity at the door. It's as simple as that. It shouldn't need to be said repeatedly, and yet here we are. Anyway, let's try and segue to some of the more pleasant matters, including this series between the Knicks and Hawks. We knew it would be close because they're evenly matched. It couldn't be closer than it's been through two games. Who's going to win it and why?
To start this series, I picked the Hawks, and I'm going to stick with that. However, it was great to see the Knicks rebound. In particular, Julius Randle defensively. And he showed a level of toughness for a star player that struggled in game one. But how about Derrick Rose? Coming off the bench initially, starting in the second half, playing a season high minutes, who, by the way, started this year with the Detroit Pistons. Now is playing quality minutes in the playoff on a big stage. And Trae Young on the other side, another 30-point outing. He's been terrific shooting his runners and floaters and mixing it up with the crowd. This is an exciting 4 or 5 series. I anticipate a long one, a 7-game one. but I expect the Hawks to find a way to advance.
Okay, so maybe Trae Young makes one last shot. Meanwhile, game three tonight, Lakers-Suns. I always go back to your expression, gentlemen sweep. When the Lakers drop game one, then they take game two, and Anthony Davis looks like a different player. Where's the advantage in that right now, headed back to L.A.? Who's going to win?
The Lakers in that gentleman sweep eventually is going to take place. And it's really unfortunate, Greeny, because Chris Paul has been the best clutch time performer in the NBA, particularly scoring from mid-range. And as they won game one, they struggled to score the last 4 minutes in game two. I could only imagine, had he been in the game, how different not only that game, but this series would have looked. The Phoenix Suns were a legitimate two seed for a reason. You see how Devin Booker has performed, and DeAndre Ayton has shown promise, and Mikal Bridges. Monty Williams did a terrific job with this squad, but with a hobbled Chris Paul, they just don't have a chance against LeBron James and Anthony Davis and the Los Angeles Lakers.
It's a shame for Paul. This happens to him in the postseason so many times that it might cost him another chance with another good team here. Jalen, awesome. Thank you, Jalen.
Thanks
and Jacoby.
A lot,
later today, we'll see it. Much more basketball conversation as we go, and then he'll be all over the coverage tomorrow night, because we got three game threes coming your way. We start with Knicks Hawks in Atlanta. That's at 7 Eastern on ESPN. Then Nets Celtics on ABC, 8:30 Eastern. And cap it with the Clippers and Mavs. What a great night of basketball on ESPN and on ABC. That's tomorrow. Meanwhile, this is from this morning. The video we're going to show you here is Tim Tebow, the new Jacksonville Jaguar, arriving for work this morning in Jacksonville. There he is, coming to work with his teammates, the former quarterback turned outfielder, now tight end. Meanwhile, the number one overall pick is there, Trevor Lawrence. He's been asked about his impressions of Tebow early in camp, and this is what he said.
He looks great. You can tell he's just a guy that you want to be around. Character is awesome. Just had a few conversations with him, and I can already tell. And then just a hard worker. You know, no one's going to work harder than him. And those are the kind of guys you want in your locker room that you want to be around every day. So, and then I'm excited to see what he does on the field as well.
Okay, so he's saying the right things. But for those who are just joining us, Diana Russini, I want to go back to something you told us in the first hour because it raised a lot of eyebrows. This idea that Tebow is a tight end. You said the people you've been talking to have very different expectations for the way he'll be used.
Yeah, there are people in the NFL right now who strongly believe that the reason why Urban Meyer brought Tim Tebow in is not to play tight end, but actually to use him in that utility role, that Taysom Hill role, that we see Sean Payton use in New Orleans. And, you know, in terms of comparing the two, we always talk on the show how much Sean Payton loves Taysom Hill. He's made it very obvious over the years. That same kind of love is what Tim Tebow and Urban Meyer have between each other. And it could be a very similar situation, but in terms of football, this is something we could be seeing.
So an expectation that Tebow will be used like a Taysom Hill, gadget plays, that sort of thing. And so as we bring that thought to the group here, this is a team that is currently riding a 15-game losing streak. Let me bring Chris Canty and Damian Woody back in if I can here. We address the little brief audio issue that we had there. But if we, yes, we do.
Sorry,
so Chris
that.
Canty, I'll come to you. We've got Tim T. We got a number one pick in the draft playing quarterback. We got a team that was 1-15 a year ago, and now we're bringing in Tim Tebow to run a Taysom Hill-style package. Chris Canty, what do you think of that?
I don't like it, G. I got to be honest with you. I mean, we've seen Taysom Hill be able to do a lot of things in the NFL. He can throw, he can catch. We hadn't seen Tim Tebow be able to do that at a high level, at least not enough to warrant him being able to make a return after a six-year absence from the sport. So I think it's a long shot in terms of Tebow being a contributor on the field with the Jacksonville Jaguars. And if he's not going to be somebody that's a productive player, I don't think it's worth the distraction. Again, this is another one of those moves this offseason that's got a lot of those guys in that Jacksonville Jaguars locker room looking at Urban Meyer sideways. First, going out there and trying to sign Iowa strength coach Chris Doyle to be your head of strength and conditioning after what happened with his tenure there. And now with bringing over Tebow, it's a move that reeks of privilege, and it's a move that could undermine the credibility of your head coach moving forward.
All right, so D. Wood, I'm just thinking through the ways that you could try and make this make sense in your head. He's going to run gadget plays. He's going to have a Taysom Hill-like package. He's going to provide the kind of leadership and culture that Urban Meyer wants. Do those things make sense to you, Damian Woody?
No. Hell, what are we talking about here? What are we talking? You talking about bringing in a guy who's 34 years old, 34, hasn't played in an NFL game in what, 8 years? And you're talking about him being a gadget guy? You just drafted a guy in Trevor Lawrence who is, you know, what everyone's talked about, a generational guy. We talk along the lines of John Elway, Peyton Manning, Andrew Luck. And you're talking about bringing in a guy who hasn't been in the league to be a gadget guy? That makes absolutely no sense. And it goes back again to the credibility of Urban Meyer. If that's the direction that he wants to go with Tim Tebow, I'm sure guys in that locker room are looking at this whole situation like, Urban, what the hell are you doing, man? This is not Florida. This is not Ohio State. This is the National Football League. We got a guy that we just drafted number one who's a much better athlete than Tim Tebow. We don't need to do any of that gimmick stuff.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, he signs an outfielder to play tight end and run gadget plays. He drafts a running back to play wide receiver. So Diana, I just wonder, the people you talk to around the league, this kind of skepticism that you're hearing up here on our panel, do you hear that from people inside the NFL about Urban?
Oh, certainly. There has been a lot of joking and mocking behind his back from coaches and players just trying to understand and figure out what is he doing. But I do want to make one point. You know, I haven't been in a locker room the way these men on the show have been in terms of being on a team like this. But I know for a fact the reason why Urban brought Tim Tebow in is because he admires and loves his competitiveness. He's a type of player that he constantly compares others to. He brings Tim Tebow up all the time. And look, we've all seen Tim Tebow. We've all worked with him. We've heard him on television. He's a really likable guy. He may not be fantastic at the game of football right now, but could he possibly have a good effect on this locker room? Maybe that's how Urban sees it.
Damian Woody, I can't not address that expression. What do you think?
All of these intangibles that Diana is talking about, none of that matters if you're a scrub, if you're not any good. Greedy, it comes down to are you a baller or not? Okay, we can talk about work ethic and all this rah-rah type stuff, but players aren't going to follow you if you are not a good football player. Period.
I need to perfect that look that you just gave us, because it... when they say a picture is worth 1,000 words, that one definitely is worth at least 1,000. As we continue here, D. Wood will continue making that face. And Tom Brady is having all kinds of fun on social media, some of it at the expense of Aaron Rodgers. Is there a method to this madness? That's the question. The answer's next. Get up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
We're back on Get Up, and it's time for your wake-up call. Islanders, Penguins last night. Listen.
Nelson into the slot, walks in, shoots, he scores! Brock Nelson has his second of the period! He goes 5, hold on, Jerry, and it's 5-3 Isles!
Oh, the call is awesome, and that's your squad, D. Wood, as they eliminate the Penguins in 6. What do you think?
Oh, man, you got to put a little bass in the voice, but I love the energy, man. The Coliseum was was crazy last night. Yeah, it got put a little bit more bass in the voice, but man, I'm excited about where my Islanders are headed, man. We ready for them Bruins in round two.
It doesn't sound quite the same when you do the play-by-play calls somewhere down here. And meanwhile, congratulations to your squad. Let's talk about a team you played for a long time ago, and that's the Patriots. For the first time since 2008, New England is coming off a season in which they missed the playoffs. Their 11 straight playoff appearances was the longest streak in history. But they've done something about it. They spent $165 million guaranteed dollars in free agency, most by any team ever in any offseason. They also brought back Cam Newton on a one-year deal filled with incentives. And they addressed the quarterback position further, as you well know, drafting Mac Jones 15 overall. It was the first time in his career as an NFL head coach that Bill Belichick took a quarterback in the first round. And I want to go live to Foxborough this morning where we find our very own Mike Reese, who is standing by. Oh, look at him. Mike Reese has got a ball. He's ready to go. And there's a lot of talk about the Patriots right now because the speculation is heavy that Julio Jones is going to get traded as soon as next week. Should we expect to see New England involved in those conversations?
Greeny, I got the ball because I'm so excited to watch the first Patriots practice of the offseason and talk to you this morning. My sense, talking to people around the Patriots about Julio Jones, is that this is more about the financials of his contract and how it would affect their cap, and not just this year, but future years. So how aggressively they would pursue it would be more based on those finances than really the trade compensation to me. So more, as I talk to people around the team, it would be more about the financial aspects and whether they want to go that far.
Okay, interesting. So that doesn't sound like they look at it as Julio or bust. Bill never seems to look at anything as anyone or bust. In the meantime, let's talk about the quarterbacks. The OTAs means, as we just mentioned, Cam is back and they draft Mac Jones. So this competition, if indeed it is one, and from the outside it feels like one, it begins now, yes?
No question. Bill Belichick just finished up a video conference. I asked him about Mac just moments ago. Greeny said he's dove into the playbook. He also said Cam Newton has been professional and they've both been here. And what they're doing now is they're just sort of teaching. They want to get both these guys sort of taught up so when they get to late July, the start of training camp, they can have what they hope is an open competition for the job. And talking to people, players, about Mac Jones, they say he's come as advertised, smart, accurate, has fit into the team culture. They also say Cam has looked good as well. So it does set the framework for that competition, Greeny.
Now, there really hasn't been a quarterback competition in New England in a very long time, so this should be fascinating to follow. And Mike Reese will be out there following it for us and maybe throwing a few spirals at Gillette today. We'll see what happens. Thank you, Mike. Always a pleasure to have you. In the meantime, that's the new quarterback situation in New England. Let's talk about their old quarterback, a fellow by the name of Tom Brady. They announced yesterday he's playing in this upcoming match golf. He's doing it again. He and Phil Mickelson against Aaron Rodgers and Bryson DeChambeau. And in case you haven't followed this, the trash talking on social media has just been remarkable, including you got Tom Brady tweeting, Bryson DeChambeau better get used to laying up because we know that Aaron Rodgers isn't going for it, which is a direct shot based upon, of course, kicking that field goal in the playoff game last year. And DeChambeau and Brooks Koepka and all that got into it. Nothing could be more golf than a guy named Bryson and a guy named Brooks getting into it. But that's a whole other thing. But let's deal in the Brady of this for a minute. D-Wood, someone on our show staff brought up an interesting question. I'll ask it to you as Brady's former teammate. Yes, he's having fun with this. But is he also using this psychologically? Do you think he is using his social media every now and again to get in the heads of his competition?
Absolutely, because everyone knows the type of competitor he is. Greeny, the man doesn't like to lose. He's always carried a huge chip on his shoulder, and even at the grand old age of 43 years old, Brady is always looking for any type of edge that he can possibly get on any opponent. And I know this is all fun and games, and we're talking about this little golf tournament, foursome. But trust me, Greeny, this is the most competitive guy I've ever played with. And he's definitely using his social media to try to get any advantage he can in this tournament.
Now, I used to see Michael Jordan befriended a lot of his primary rivals because he felt it gave him a psychological edge. What do you think, Chris Canty? Is Tom Brady playing on some level, playing little mind games here?
Oh, you know he is, Greeny. I mean, he plays mind games with himself to keep putting that chip on his shoulder and being ready to go going into year 21. But, I mean, I just love this version of Tom Brady that we're seeing, taking shots at people on social media. I love the one where he's saying two champions versus a scientist and a Jeopardy host. Aaron Rodgers is on vacation. He didn't think he was going to catch a stray from Tom Brady with this matchup.
Diana, quick thought.
Mental warfare here is taking full advantage of the vulnerability that Aaron Rodgers is feeling right now. And whoever runs his social media account deserves a very, very big fat raise.
I agree. And the reason we need it to be quick is because, Diana, we want to give you one more chance to address this. It happened earlier in our program today. For those of you who weren't watching, Diana Rossini said this.
And I think we all do weird things when we're in love, and we overshare and overpost. And look, he's married. He's getting married to a beautiful actress. I'm married to someone average. I don't post a lot about him. If I was married to someone beautiful, I'd overpost too.
Now, this doesn't seem nice. We have put together photos of Diana's husband here for everyone to see so you can make some amends on national television.
We're average together. And you know what the worst part is? He sent me a text during that segment, not watching because he actually works for a living. And he said, good luck today. Be great on Get Up. So the guy's got a heart of gold, and here I am on national TV killing him. Look, we're average together, but he makes me above average because he married me. So I am so sorry. I need to really stop killing my husband on television. I'm going to be divorced by Christmas.
I think for all of us, it was the best moment on the show today. And I wanted to make sure that at least we got that so we could sort of, the last thing in the world we want to do is pry couples apart on this program. We're all about bringing people together. Well done, Diana, Chris Canty, Damian Woody. Thank you all for getting up today. First Take is coming up next. Did the Knicks get lucky last night? And how should the NBA respond to the disgraceful incident involving Russell Westbrook? First Take, Stephen A., Max, and Molly next on ESPN.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.